I'm turning this evening to Jeremiah chapter 33 and to verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And this evening, our thinking is going to be around prayer, the importance of prayer in the life of a church. The importance of prayer in the life of the church. And give me some few minutes to go to the background to this account in Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah, this saying from God to Jeremiah was at a time when he was in prison. He had been cast into prison for speaking the truth about what God said about Judah. And the king wasn't happy because false prophets were also saying things that was in contrary to what Jeremiah was saying. And for that matter, King Zedekiah put him into prison. So while he was in the prison, that is when the Lord said this to him: call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So we are going to consider this account. In Jeremiah 21, during the siege of Jerusalem, the king, Zedekiah asked Jeremiah to intercede to the Lord so that the Lord would deliver Judah, because he was a prophet of God. And now Jeremiah comes with the answer and says that God has handed Judah over to judgment, first by plague, and those who escaped the plague will also fall to the Babylonians. This is what Jeremiah told the king. And he said the only hope that any of the people were for the people was to surrender to the Babylonians. There was no other thing they can do was to surrender. He said, whoever stays in this city will die by either the sword, by famine, or by plague. But whoever goes out and surrenders to the Babylonians, who had already besieged them, will live. This is what Jeremiah told them. That is in verse 9. Jeremiah 21, verse 9. Then Zedekiah heard this definite answer from God, but he didn't like it, because some false prophets had contradicted Jeremiah, and they had preached a more favorable message. In Jeremiah chapter 23. But God repeated this message to Jeremiah in chapters 24 and 25, that this is what is going to happen to Judah. He has already judged them, and there's nothing anybody can do. And here, there became something like a showdown between Jeremiah and the false prophets in 27 and 28. Jeremiah came to the king wearing something around his neck, a sign of bondage around his neck, as a visual, something visual to the king. And he said, this is what will happen to the people. They will be taken to Babylon as exiles in bondage. Then the false prophet called Hananiah. He took the yoke from the neck of Jeremiah and broke it, saying that this is what the Lord says: in the same way I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, off the neck of the nation within 2 years. That is in Jeremiah 28, verse 11. Then the Lord tells Jeremiah to pronounce judgment on that false prophet and tell him that before the end of the year he will be dead. God was trying to demonstrate to the people that Jeremiah was a true prophet and Hananiah was a false prophet. And in verse 17, in the 7th month of the same year, the false prophet died, as God had said. Now Jeremiah sends a letter to those already in exile in Babylon, telling them not to trust all those false prophets who were telling them that they will come back within a short time. He told them they should settle there, they should build houses and gardens and have children and seek the prosperity of Babylon, because they will be there for a long time. He specified even 70 years in Jeremiah 29 verse 10. He said they will be there for over 70 years. However, as we read here, there was a promise that God will restore Judah to the land, but only in his own time. That is Jeremiah 29 to 31. Then in chapter 32, the king, there is where he confined Jeremiah to the courtyard of the guard, like in a prison, but in the palace, according to verse 21. But here, Jeremiah continued, he did not compromise his message. While he was in prison, that is where God spoke to him in the verse 3. That called unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. This is what we are going to consider this evening. And this text, as you can see, naturally it is split into three distinct parts. First, we learn that prayer is commanded. We are commanded to pray. Call unto me is a command. God is commanding us, commanding Jeremiah, and commanding us also to pray. The second part of this passage is that an answer is promised. That is what God said. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. So he has promised an answer, that when you pray to him, he will answer you. The third part is that faith is encouraged. You see, God encouraged the faith. Because he said, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So these are the three parts that we are going to consider today. Prayer is commanded, an answer is promised, and faith is also encouraged. First, let's come to prayer is commanded. We can see from what God said that we are not merely recommended to pray, but we are bidden, we are commanded to pray. And it is strange that we need a command before we be merciful to our own selves. Why do we have to be commanded before we pray? There are reasons for that which we are going to learn. Without the command of love from God, no man, in the same way as no man can come to God, in the gospel, we know that not until God works in your heart with the Holy Spirit, no one can come. In the same way, we will not pray. People know that they are perishing, and yet they will never come to God until God drags them. And that is the reason why we need to be commanded before we can pray. Why is it like this? Why do we need to be commanded before we can pray? The reason is that we have become so worldly. We are subject to worldliness. How many of you forget to eat? Nobody forgets to eat. Nobody forgets to be diligent in their business. Nobody forgets to sleep. And yet we often, too many times, forget to pray, to wrestle with God in prayer. And this is the more reason why we need to be commanded by God. We spend so many hours in the world and moments with Christ. We spend all our time in the world, but even when we have to commit our lives to God on Sundays, we can't even do that. So we spend so much time in the world, and we spend a few of our time to Christ. We give our strength and our freshness to the ways of this world, and then when we are tired, that is when we come to God. So we need to be commanded to attend to this important communion with God. That is why he said, call unto me. Otherwise, no one will come. He has to call on us. He has to command us before we can come. God also understands that sometimes when we are under a heavy sense of sin, then Satan takes our advantage and discourages you to go and pray. Sometimes you say, why should you pray when you have defied yourself so much? Brethren, it is well for us that we are commanded to pray, whether in heaviness or whatever be our situation. We should never give up. We should come to the Lord in prayer, because He has commanded us to do so. God commands us, unfit as we are, we have to, even if we have to creep to the throne of God to pray, we have to go. Because He says we should pray without ceasing. So, even if you can't pray, if you ask God to teach you how to pray, to help you to prevail in prayer. We are also commanded to pray because of our frequent unbelief. Sometimes the same Satan makes us think either the issue is too trivial, it's so small that there's no need to take it to the Lord, or it's too temporal, or the matter is too complicated, don't take it to the Lord. These are all impediments that the devil puts in our way to stop us from praying. And this is why God commands us, has to command us to pray. So we should remember that in all of this, in all our situations, no matter what the devil whispers into your ears, remember, call unto me. Are you sick that you want to be healed? He said, call unto me. I am the great physician. God asks us to call unto Him. Whatever your circumstances, remember, call unto me. Cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. These are all His promises. You'll be surprised how many promises God has given us in the Bible about the need, commandment to pray. I'll just give you a few. In Psalm 50, verse 15, He said, call unto me in the days of trouble, and I will deliver thee. Psalm 62, verse 8, trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. In Isaiah 55, verse 6, He said, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. These are all promises from God. And the ever popular one, Matthew 7, verse 7, ask and it shall be given thee. You seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. In Mark 14, verse 38, say, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. In Colossians 4, verse 2, said, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, He says, pray without ceasing. These are, and there are so many of them in the Bible that God commands us and then promises us how He will answer our prayers. And in saying that, come unto me, He means everybody. Everybody can come to the Lord in prayer. You don't need to rely on any prayer warrior. Please, you don't need to rely on any prophet to pray for you. There's nobody who is so special before God that He's the only one that God answers His prayer. Everyone's prayer will be answered once we pray truthfully. Very soon we are going to come to the conditions where our prayers will be answered. You don't need to go to anybody. You yourself must pray. The order is for every one of us. Come unto me, call unto me, and I will answer thee. Now the second part is an answer is promised. We should not think for a minute that God will not answer our prayer. Because His nature, as manifested by Christ while He was on this earth, demands that He would answer our prayers. As it was revealed in the gospel, He is the God of love, full of grace, full of truth, and full of mercy. So how can He refuse those who are His creatures and who humbly and His own appointed way, the way He has appointed, when we come to Him? Why would He refuse you if you come to Him for His favor? Why would God refuse you? So never think that when we come to God to pray, He wouldn't answer you, and you need to go to somebody to pray for you before your prayers are answered. And not do not think, as I just mentioned here in the promises, that God will give those same promises that seek his faith, and yet will be so unjust and ungracious to forget to hear our cry. Do you think he will do that to us? Because as it is always said, it is from the mouth of the Lord. He has said it, and God cannot lie. And let's also talk about his nature. He's a God of justice, full of mercy and grace. And he has displayed this so many times in the Bible. In Romans 8, verse 32, he said, he that spares not his own son, but deliver him for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God can let his son come and die to save us, why would he not answer our prayer? If God did not, he did not refuse to listen to the voice when you were a guilty sinner, before you came to be saved, you were a guilty sinner, and yet God heard your prayer for your sins to be forgiven you. So now that you have become a child of him, why would he not answer your prayers? Now that you are justified by grace, he will answer your prayers. The atonement of Christ is a guarantee that prayers will be heard. Because on the day that Christ died, we saw that the curtains got opened. Before then, nobody had access to the inner chamber. But on that day, the curtains got opened to show that we have all now access to God in prayer. Anybody can come to pray through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And like I said, we have his own word, our own promise from a God, the God who cannot lie. Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will answer thee. And he has said somewhere again that whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believe that ye shall have it, and ye shall have it. That is in Matthew 21, verse 22. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. So you see, we cannot pray unless we believe this doctrine. He said, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. You must believe in this doctrine, that whosoever, God said that, whoever cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, the third part is encouragement to faith. You see, the best way by which we can know the mysteries, the truth of God, is by waiting upon him in prayer. And we can see this in the book of Daniel. We can't turn there now because of time. Daniel chapter 2 from verse 1 to 23. Also in Revelation chapter 5, read from verse 1 to 5, where he talks about the tears of John. And according to theologians, these tears represent his prayers. So we must always remember that the best means of study and understanding of the Bible is prayer. I mean, to understand the Bible, you have to pray for God to open your mind to understand it. The same cry is mentioned in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. It says, if thou criest after knowledge, and lifted up thy voice for understanding, in verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. It's a similar one in Psalm 18, verse 10, Psalm 107, verse 19, Psalm 120, verse 1. Now, a little illustration. If for you to be able to break a stone, what do? You have to hit it hard with a hammer. If you want to break into a very big and hard stone, you have to hit it hard with a hammer. And usually when breaking a stone with a hammer, you kneel down, don't you? And that's how we come to God. It has to be by prayer and faith, and wrestle with God in prayer, as Jacob did. As Christians, after repentance unto salvation, we need to grow in sanctification and to gain deeper knowledge about God. And this can only be attained by prayer. Because we learn from the passage, it says, I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So when you come even before God to pray, you may come to pray for something specific. But God is saying here that He will show you things that you don't even know. Apart from what you are asking Him, He will show you great and mighty things which you never know. So it means to be able to know the mysteries of God, it has to be by prayer and a diligent prayer as such. There are deep things to know about God, and it is only God who can take us there. And He will take us there only through prayer. And it is sad that very few Christians engage in prevailing prayer, and therefore they are unable to know the deep things of God. In the ark of Noah, during the flood, we learned that in the ark there were stories. There were the first story, the second story, and the third story in the same ark. And so it is in the Christian life. There's a way, the way to get to the upper story is through prevailing prayers. You must pray hard and always to be able to get to the third story. So to grow in the word and in knowledge, there must be much prayer. You can't imagine the blessing that God will shower upon you when you come to Him in prayer. You can turn to Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20. We also know of how God answered the prayer of Elijah. Elijah was a man like me and you, and he prayed, and for 3 good years it never rained. And the same person prayed again, and it rained. So when we come before God, you can never even imagine how great things that He will bestow upon you when you come. We can also talk about Ruth. When she went to Boaz, she went for years of corn, isn't it? He wasn't going for marriage. He just wanted something to eat. He went for years of corn. But in the end, he found a husband. That is in Ruth chapter 2. We also learn in Job chapter 4 verse 2 that when he interceded for his friend, God turned Job from his captivity and gave him twice as he had before. Job 4, 42 verse 8 to 10. All what Job lost, God doubled it for him. So brethren, let's take this text very seriously. As God Himself speaks, He called unto me, which is a command. I will answer thee and answer promise and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. In faith and courage, and take God for His word. Get home and enter into your chambers. Shut down your door. Shut your door and pray and try Him. Try and prove whether the Lord is true or not. You can never seek mercy as a son through Jesus and get a negative reply. No. You have to trust in His promises and His character and come to Him with all your heart, and He will answer and show you mighty things that you never thought of. See, God has done everything possible to incite us to pray and to invite us to pray. But strangely, we find it difficult to pray, including me. It has become a very difficult thing to spend time, hours, in prayer. Sometimes we just rush, or when we are going to bed, we are so tired, just bow down, say a few things, and then go. The next day in the morning, early short prayers, we are off to work. So we are spending more time in the world, or in the workplace, than with God. You can also turn to James chapter 5, verse 16. I can't read it now because of our time. The Christian life is won or lost in the consistent, faithful practice of the basics of our faith. What is the basis of our faith? prayer, witnessing, fellowship, worship, discipleship, ministry, Bible study, and giving. To name a few, we call this the means of grace. If you practice them, you will know more about God. If you don't practice them, you will never grow as a Christian. So we need to talk to God, because if we don't get on our knees, God will never get on his feet. We have to get on our knees, and then he will get on his feet. We know that when a church prays, God gets involved. As a church, we need to be prayerful. We need to pray. As a new church in this community, we need to pray that God will bless all our efforts, and that we'll be able to achieve the purpose for which God has brought us here. Before we go on today, I want to show you a few keys to effective praying, or ways to an effective prayer life. And the first one is called sanctified prayer. I'm talking about the kind of prayers that God answers. Sanctified prayer. By sanctified prayer, I'm talking about one's position. Do you understand the position that God wants you to be before he hears your prayer? I'm not talking about the position like lying down or kneeling down. Your position before God. As for God, you don't have to only bow down on your knees before he can hear you. You can pray standing, you can pray walking, and God will hear you. By sanctified prayer, I'm talking about a prayer that is offered through the lips of a heart lifted unto God by people whose Christ's blood has bought. People who have been purchased by the precious blood of Christ. See, through the death of Christ, we have been given access. Like I said earlier on, we have been given access to the throne of the Almighty. So, when I say a sanctified prayer, I'm talking about the people who are sanctified before God. In James chapter 5, verse 16, where I referred you to, it said, the prayer of a righteous man is effective. And then in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, he said, and so, dear brethren and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. This is the new life-giving way that Christ has opened up for us through the sacred curtain, by means of his death on us. By his death, we are enabled to come to God. Because like I said earlier on, when he died, the curtain that separates the people from the inner chamber, was opened. So when you become a Christian, when you are saved, when Christ buys you with his blood, then you are in a position to pray to God. And he said, since we have a great high priest who rules over God's people, let us go right to the presence of God with true heart, fully trusting him, for our evil consciences have been sprinkled with the blood of Christ, and then we are clean. So you must be saved. For you to be able to offer a sanctified prayer, you must be saved. Then we have a steadfast prayer, number two, which refers to persistence in prayer. Too often we give up when we pray for something, and maybe within a short time, our prayers are not answered. We become discouraged and we stop praying. No, we must be persistent in prayer. I know that God answers all prayers, but he answers them in four ways. Sometimes he answers our prayers directly, exactly what we ask for, he answers them. Sometimes he delays in answering our prayers. Sometimes, because God is sovereign, He occasionally answers our prayers differently. Sometimes what you ask for, God will give you something different. But mind you, He knows what you need before you come to Him. He knows what is better for you. What you may be asking for may be dangerous to you, but you may not know. God knows. So when you pray, don't expect that God will answer you in the same way as you are praying. He will answer you in accordance with His own will, because He's a sovereign King. Sometimes He can even deny your prayers. It's not always that you get what you want. And whatever God does, because He's sovereign and He's a true God, whatever He does is the best. So that even if He refuses to answer your prayer, it is okay. You must take it. But that's how it's supposed to be. So God will answer our prayer, but we must first pray, and must pray steadfastly, persistently. Come to Him in prayer all the time. Jesus gave an illustration in Luke chapter 18 from verse 1 to 7. You can read there. Which illustration was to show the disciples their need to be consistent in prayer. He talked about a judge in the city who did not fear God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, "Avenge me of my adversaries or my enemies." And the king, the judge, would for a while not even answer the woman. But the woman kept coming persistently, worrying the man, disturbing him. Then one day the judge said, "Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she worries me." So the Lord said that, "Hear what even the unjust judge says." And do you think that if the unjust judge has said it, the God, the true God, will not listen to your prayer and answer you? But in the end, He said, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth?" Do you have faith to pray to God? C.S. Spurgeon said, "Prayers pull the rope down below, and the great bell rings in the ears of God." When you pray, the bells ring in the ears of God. That is what Spurgeon said. So if you don't tell the bell, what it means is that if you don't tell the bell, then God will not hear. So we need to pray. The third one is specific or united prayer. How we pray is very, very important. And with whom we pray is just as important. It's what is very, very important to meet as a church. For prayer, our prayer meetings, very, very important. It is the powerhouse of the church. Any church who does not pray is doomed. We need to meet together and pray. God wants us to pray specifically. That is why when we come here, we have a list of things we are going to pray for. So you must be specific. You can't just come to God and say anything, like our friends do in the charismatics, speaking in tongues, saying things that they themselves don't understand, and assuming that God will understand. It doesn't make sense. You must be specific. For instance, if you are coming to God to heal you, I don't see how you can say the same thing in tongues, speaking the same way as if you are coming to ask God to give you a job. You say the same thing, and you think that God will know that this one is for a healing, and that it doesn't make sense. You must be specific. Tell God what you want. If you go to your father to ask for something, you can't go and stand before your father and be saying certain things and say that my father will understand because he is God. No, you must be specific. Tell him as you want. Jesus gave a similar example in Matthew chapter 20. Later on, you can also read that. And we also learn that every major move of God in history has been preceded by a unified and focused prayer effort. There are so many of them in the Bible. We can talk about when the apostle, when they were locked up in prison and the disciples were praying, what happened? The gates of the prison were broken down. There are so many things that we can learn from the Bible when what prayer has done, a unified prayer has done. People who met together and agree on one thing and pray, God always answers them. And then we have another sensitive prayer. And a prayer which is effective is a prayer that is sensitive to God. You see, when you pray, God listens and then God talks back. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as He speaks to us during prayer. We need to be still. That's why even here, when you come after the service, we need to pray a short prayer. And when you pray, you must in a way like listening to God. I'm not saying God will speak to you that you hear a voice, but you need to listen to God because you have made your request to Him. Don't just get up and go. Just kneel down for a while and then listen to the God. We need to be still and seek to know what we are being led to pray about. Then, we also need to have a spirit-filled prayer. A spirit-filled prayer. And this is a prayer that is led by the Holy Spirit. It is spirit-led, spirit-controlled, and spirit-empowering prayer. When you pray in the Holy Spirit, that is what the charismatics are making a mistake. When they say pray and pray in the Spirit, they understand it that you have to mumble something. No, when you say pray in the Spirit, you believe that, like I said, even though God knows what you need, He still commands us to pray. And when you are praying, to pray in the Spirit is like believing that even though your prayer is feeble, the Holy Spirit will repackage your prayer and make it acceptable to God. Because it is the Spirit which knows exactly how your prayer must be. So you just bow down and pray as you are commanded to pray as a human being, as a Christian. But the Holy Spirit will repackage your prayer, will make it rich, that it will be acceptable unto God. So when we say you pray in prayer, in the Spirit, that is what it means. And also, whilst praying, you must also know that you are walking in the Spirit. You are led by the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 21, you must be led by the Spirit. In Jude chapter 20, it says, "By you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." That's how to pray in the Holy Spirit. You don't pray in the Holy Spirit by speaking in tongues. No, you must pray trusting in the Holy Spirit to repackage your prayers and make it acceptable unto God. And the last one is surrendered prayer. This is where you submit your prayer to God and leave it according to His will. Don't pray to God and tell Him, "I want it now." Now, you can't say that to God. You pray and leave it with Him. Let Him answer you in accordance with His own will. You can't tell God to give you what you want because you want it. He must give it to you now. No. You must surrender your prayer to God. Some Christians believe that whatever they pray for, God is somehow obliged to do it. They say that as long as I pray in faith and in Jesus' name, I have enough faith and therefore God should answer me. No, it doesn't go like that. Pray and surrender it to God. Because like I said earlier on, sometimes what you think you are praying for might even be dangerous to you. Sometimes you can pray for a car, and God knows that if you give you the car, the next few days, you have an accident and die. So do you want God to give you that car? No. God knows what is best for you. So you pray and surrender to Him and leave Him to answer your prayers. God is pleased with the church that learns the important ministry of prayer. God is calling us to pray. He's calling us to pray effectively, and to do so, our prayers must be first sanctified, steadfast, specific, sensitive, spirit-filled, and surrendered. And I pray that the Lord will enable us to pray as He has specified here, and trusting in the promise, as He said, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." May He help us to live by these promises, for His own name's sake. Amen.
Amen.